Okay, it's time for me to go. Enjoy the buffet, guys. He puts on his coat and leaves. Time, 1 p.m. Bob looks at Tom and says, you said Joe would take care of us? This is how he takes care of us? He gives you meth? I don't like this. This is a setup, man. We're roadkill. There's no way out for us. You know it. I don't want to throw no fucking gasoline bomb into a crowded nightclub. What the fuck do you think I am? Some kind of mass murderer? No, man. California. Let's go. Let's go now. Man, aren't we ashamed of ourselves yet? Fuck you, man. We haven't got enough cash between us to get to Denver. Anyway, they'd find us. You know that. We've no fucking choice. We have no say in this. We are fucked. And yeah, I am ashamed, says Tom. Bob sighs and they finish their meal in silence. Tom tosses the packet of meth in the trash on the way out. On the ride back to the motel, Bob shakes his head and says emphatically, no, I'm not going through with it. What? No, I'm done. Let me get my stuff and drop me at the bus station, Tom. What are you going to do for money, man? I got some emergency money in my shoe. Always tried to have enough for best fare home. Not that I have a home anymore. We've been a team for 3 years, man. Are you really going to try to make it to California? Yeah. Or somewhere else. Maybe it's better you don't know too much. But I ain't fucking gonna torch no nightclub. What the fuck, man? You think I'd squeal on you? No fucking way. Jeez. No, it's just the less you know, the better. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure. But crap, I don't know. I don't want to go through with this either. But we're in way too deep. I don't mind being a delivery boy and roughing up some slackers that don't pay their bills. But you're right. This is getting in some really big crap. Shit, a lot of people are gonna die in there. So, why the hell don't we both go? It's pretty damn sure that if we don't take care of ourselves, no one else will. We're on our own, man. I know. Yeah, I'm gonna rich shit. Like you, says Tom. Well, you can have half of what I got. It's not much. I don't know how far we can get, but at least we won't be here. I don't want to be here when Joe and Pete take that place down. Well, in that case, maybe we need a whole new plan, says Tom. How so? What do you got in mind? Maybe, just maybe, I think we should go back to that club. Huh? And exactly how is that going to improve our situation? And meet with that Shea guy, says Tom. What, are you fucking crazy? What part of getting your arm half broken, kneed in the groin, and dumped in the gutter don't we understand, says Bob. You know, maybe it's time we tried something different. You heard. This guy Shea is loaded. You know, we're the ones who pulled the gun on him. What the fuck would we have done? If things were the other way around, we wouldn't have need him. We'd have fucking blown his balls off. Anyway, we know something he wants to know. He's the only other game in town. I say we go for broke and make him an offer he can't refuse. Yeah, broke. Yeah, man. We are definitely broke. That is true. And we are quickly running out of options. So, what the hell? What do we got to lose? They return to the motel and swiftly pack up their few things. They get back in the car and drive to Mulroon. They park a few blocks away where they know they won't be seen, knowing full well that Joe has people watching the place. Tom looks at Bob and says, so, what exactly are we going to ask for? Well, we want to go to California, right? Right. And we don't think the car's going to make it? Probably not. I'm surprised it lasted this long. So how do we get there? Asks Bob. Train? No, I don't think they run them anymore. Bus. We want bus tickets. Are they expensive? I don't think so, but it's a long way. Maybe $300 or $400 each. And we'll need money for food, says Bob. Well, then that's it. 2 bus tickets from Omaha to L.A. and $100. Geez, man. Each. $100 each. You think? It's pretty near a grand we're asking for. Yeah, no problem. He'll pay. We know a lot, says Bob. Okay, let's do it. Time, 1 p.m. Tom dials the club. Maroon, America's Best Dance Club. How may I direct your call? I'd like to speak with Mr. Shea, please. Whom shall I say is calling? The guy whose crotch he kneed the other night. Oh, one moment, sir. The interlude is filled with generic background music. Click. This is David Shea. How's the hangover? Not so good, you bastard. And Tom's arm's still in pain. Okay, so we're fucked, but here's how it is. We have some information that we think you want, and we need some help. Are you interested to talk to us? If not, put mic on. Yeah, I'm always interested in talking. Who is this? Sounds like Bob. How the fuck did you know my name? I know both your names and a lot more. Now, exactly what do you want? We've got information. We want to make a deal. We need to talk. What the fuck is so difficult to understand about that? Nothing, really. Always open to deals. Where are you? About 2 blocks from the club. We don't want to be seen. You know you're being watched. Oh, yes, we know. No problem. Let's see. Yep, I got your GPS coordinates. A black SUV with darkened windows will be by in a few minutes to bring you here. Don't leave anything you want to keep in that car. Yeah, that won't be hard. What's going to become of the car? We'll take care of it. We don't want Pete or Joe to come across it near the club now, do we? Leave the keys in it. No, I guess not. They'll be looking for us real soon now. Now sit in the car and wait. You're kind of our last hope. You're not going to screw us, are you? No. You got nothing to worry about. I'll see to that. Okay, we're waiting. Click. Tom says, how the hell does he know about Pete and Joe? Mike must have told him. And how does Mike know Pete's in town? Good guess, maybe? As soon as David hangs up the phone, he calls Lance, who grabs his coat, gets in his SUV, and drives to the address. He pulls up next to Bob's rusted out, beat up old car, toots the horn, and reaches over and opens the rear side door. Tom and Bob scurry and enter. Hello, guys. Remember me? Says Lance as he turns and smiles at the two fugitives. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I knew this was dumb. Now we're totally fucked, says Tom furiously. Bob grunts. groans and lowers his head in his hands. Oh, give it a break, you two. Nothing's going to happen. Just sit back and enjoy the ride, says Lance. Tom looks at Bob and says, we're dead, man. I knew this was stupid. We should have taken our chances with Joe. It's your damn fault. Don't blame me. You agreed, too. Geez, a couple of fucking drama queens. Will you shut the fuck up back there, or Daddy's going to stop the car and do something nasty? Tom and Bob become silent. Tom glares, but Bob pretends not to notice. Lance nearly drives off the road, tried to keep from laughing. About 2 minutes later, they pull up to the loading dock where beer kegs and other supplies are delivered. It's out of sight from Joe's watchdogs. Okay, you two, out of the car and up into the loading dock and then into the club. Be quick about it. We don't want any of Joe's spies seeing this. Tom and Bob dart quickly from the SUV and rush frightened into the club. Lance tosses the keys to Jim and says, will you and Sean take care of their car and park mine across the street? Then he turns and follows Tom and Bob into the club where they're standing just behind Todd's console, both looking terrified. Lance comes up behind them, leans over between them, and says, follow me, boys. He walks around them and across the dance floor towards the elevator. Tom and Bob follow, looking around suspiciously as the workers in the club getting ready for opening pause what they're doing and watch them cross the dance floor, their footsteps echoing in the cavernous open space. Lance leads them to the door and then onto the freight elevator where they cower in the corner furthest from Lance. On the top floor, he ushers them to David's door, knocks quietly, opens the door, and says, go right in, gentlemen. They're expecting you. Inside are David, Todd, Mike, and Jay. Lance follows Bob and Tom into the apartment. They look around in awe, clutching their miserable duffel bags, the only possessions they salvage from the car. David gets up, walks over, offers his hand, and says, my name's David Shea, but we met, haven't we? Tom finally says, yeah, if you can call a knee in the crotch a meeting. My name's Tom. This is Bob. We need to talk to you. You know, we've taken a lot of risk coming here. We know. Sit down. Drink? As he gestures to one of the couches. Yeah, please, says Bob, and everybody laughs at the desperate way he says it. Tom and Bob sit nervously on the couch, huddled close to one another. Mike and Jay and Todd are already seated. You know who I am, says Mike. Yeah, I do now. You're Mike. Mike McAnaeus. You look different, says Bob. Yep, says Mike as he takes a cigarette out of a pack and tosses the pack to Bob. Geez, you do look different, says Tom, who turns to Bob. Yep, well, you found your quarry. Pete would be very, very pleased. I expect you won't be talking to him anytime soon. Probably not, man. Probably not. David returns with two glasses and a bottle, which he hands to Tom and says, okay, tell us something we don't know, and we know a lot already. We don't know what you know about us, but we know what Pete wants to do to you and how he plans to do it, Bob begins. Go on. We're listening, says David. There's a price. We want 2 bus tickets to Denver. Bob elbows him. Shit, man. L.A. 2 tickets to L.A. David said, what about your car? Yeah, I think that piece of shit would make it back to Waterloo, let alone L.A., says Tom. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Bus tickets. Anywhere you want to go, says David. And $100 each, adds Bob defiantly. I think we can manage that, says David. Bob looks towards Tom and raises his eyebrows quickly. You know Joe? Well, he wants us to firebomb this place tonight with Molotov cocktails while his guys blow Mike's head off, blurts Tom. Gee, that doesn't sound very sociable, says Mike. Anyway, we want no fucking part of this. We're being set up because of the other night. We may not be much, but we'd rather not be dead, and we don't want to be part of any firebombing. We'll tell you everything we know if you'll help us get out of here and as far away from Pete, Joe, and Jack as possible, says Tom. Tom and Bob tell their story. David and the others listen and ask about details. After a while, David says, any other questions? Can we get the bus tickets now? Right now, a bus trip might not be the best idea. Pete and Joe are going to know you crossed them, and they'll be looking for you, and they have resources. They'll find you. Yeah, that's probably right, says Tom. But we can't stay in Omaha either. Okay, here's the way it is. You guys will work for me now. Is that agreed? Yep, they both say at once. And you can stay here until this blows over. It's not going to be safe for you two out in the streets after tonight. They look at each other and back at David. Todd, is apartment 7 okay? Yeah, no problem, says Todd. I guess you're my responsibility now, says David. They both nod, hoping for the best. Yep, we're flat out of options once again. Story of our lives, laughs Bob cynically. But how do you mean, stay here? In a spare apartment. Todd will take you over there and explain a few things. You mean you take us in? Yep. You trust us? Yeah, up to a limit. You'll be watched. But from now on, you're working for me. Got it? Oh, yeah, that's cool, says Tom, looking quickly at Bob, who nods. Oh, right, man. I got no problem with that, says Bob, choking. This way, gentlemen, says Todd, pointing towards the door. They leave David's apartment with Todd. To those remaining, David says, well, that's his plan. Pretty brutal. Yeah, quite a show he's got planned, says Lance. I wonder if he'll try to go through with it without Tom and Bob. I don't know, says Mike. He might if he can replace them on short notice, which I doubt. Otherwise, tomorrow. We should be able to know by monitoring their cell phone traffic. Todd can read the GPS signals on Mark and Sid's phone, so we'll know if they're heading in this direction. If not, we can assume it's off for tonight, says Lance. Todd leads Tom and Bob over to the east side of the fifth floor. He opens the unlocked door to apartment 7 and leads them in. Although they've seen David's apartment, they had not expected anything like this. Tom gasps. Bob puts his hand on Tom's shoulder and says, we're hallucinating, right? No, guys, this is real, says Todd as he shows them around and asks, are you hungry? Bob says, we don't get fed too regularly. We're kind of always hungry. I'll send up some pizzas. See that phone? If you want want anything, dial 909 and ask for it. What do you mean, like room service? Asked Bob, astonished, looking first at Tom, then at Todd. Yeah, like room service. Clean yourselves up. I'll have some of the girls come over and see if they can find some clothes for you. Lance will take care of your car. He'll have it moved to a garage we own on the other side of town. You can have it back anytime you want.